So here we are at the beginning of this week's program. And as promised, we're bringing you part two of a little mini series that we're doing about one of the premier nonprofit health organizations serving many communities in our listening area. I'm talking about RVNA Health. They're a private nonprofit that's been providing exceptional home and community healthcare services. They support public health and safety and have promoted the highest quality of life for over 100 years across 35 towns in southwestern Connecticut. Today, I'm so pleased to welcome their director of philanthropy, Mary Jean Heller. And we're going to not only talk about the important role philanthropy plays in the ongoing success, sustainability, and the ability for RVNA Health to increase and enhance their services, but about a number of the programs and services that Mary Jean has experienced and wants to, share a little bit of her insight with her over a decade of service with RVNA. Before that, I do want to bring you a very important piece of information. You've probably been hearing about the increase in pet hoarders and folks who unfortunately are abandoning their sort of COVID pets across Connecticut by the hundreds every week. This is putting incredible pressure on all the agencies trying to intake and care for these abandoned pets, including an organization called Kitty Quarters Cat Shelter. They're in Torrington and they serve primarily the area around Torrington and Litchfield County. If you have unwanted and gently used items around your house, you can donate them to the Kitty Quarters upcoming benefit tag sale, or you can patronize it and know that all of the proceeds from it are going to help this organization. It's all happening at St. Michael's Church, just off the Litchfield Green, 5 minutes from Route 8 North as you're heading up toward Torrington. And you can support their tag sale or go there on Friday night, September 6th, and drop off the items that you'd like to donate. The whole event is happening the weekend of September 6th, 7th, and 8th, and you can find out more about the items they're looking for or how you can help in other ways by connecting to their website at kittyquarters.org. All right. Mary Jean Heller is with us. She's director of philanthropy for RVNA, used to be the Ridgefield Visiting Nurse Association. Mary Jean, I heard when you first picked up the phone off mic, it was MJ. Do you feel better or would you prefer that I call you MJ?
Thank you for having me. MJ is a longtime family nickname, so whichever you prefer works for me.
Very good. Well, Mary Jean, tell us a little bit about your work and your background and what brought you to RVNA now over a decade ago.
Yes, I have actually a financial background from years ago, but I came to RVNA Health, when they were RVNA 13 years ago, and it's just been a great story. I really enjoy it here. I love being a part of my local community, and we do a lot of good things for our expanded communities, and it's a very feel good organization.
Mm. Now, did you work in the health arena prior to coming on to RVNA, or is this your first foray into the world of healthcare and public health support?
I did not. So coming to RVNA Health was, a bit of a learning curve for me to learn the healthcare industry, the insurance reimbursements and all that. And I'm still no expert in it because it's a very complex landscape out there. But it's been a learning curve, but one that I embrace.
Mm. Were you always involved in promoting the philanthropic importance at RVNA, or did you come in some other capacity and move into this position?
No, I started right in this area. I started as a grant writer and then moved into the director position. So, I've always been involved with the development team since coming here.
Mm. Well, let's talk a little bit about philanthropy, including how grants help RVNA make all the difference to all the patients that they might not be able to reach out and help and support if it wasn't for some type of philanthropic or charitable giving? It really plays an important role in a nonprofit organization, but sometimes I think when we're talking about public health delivery, the mind tends to automatically think it's a taxpayer-funded initiative, and certainly that is not the case.
No, absolutely not. You know, our revenue streams come from, you know, insurance reimbursements and Medicare and Medicaid, but the, you know, the additional things that we do, the ability to care for people who don't have insurance or who are underinsured, the ability to care for more vulnerable populations, and to bring the valuable preventive care and community health programs that we bring throughout the many communities we serve, you know, those things are purely donor funded. And it, you know, we wouldn't be here without the support of our donors. You know, quite frankly, that's just how it is. You know, we have a 110-year-old mission that is founded upon compassion. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is turn away somebody who truly needs healthcare but is challenged with accessing it, whether it be due to financial reasons or other barriers such as language or transportation or they're new to the country, what have you. So, you know, we really look at our patient population and we, you know, we don't want to turn people away. We like to serve people regardless of their financial circumstances, regardless of their diagnosis, birth to end of life. And philanthropy is really the only way that we can stay true to our mission.
One of the other challenges is the actual word philanthropy. Sometimes when people say that word, there's that impression that, you know, it's some wealthy benefactor that's, you know, writing a $1 million check to, you know, not only give back, but maybe to lend their name to a program, a service, a building, something like that. But in fact, philanthropy is as much as and is important as a $5 or a $20 or a $50 donation or volunteering, right?
Oh, you bet. I mean, John, philanthropy is the love for humankind. You know, it's the act of charitable giving that improves the well-being of others. So, you know, my job and the job of my colleagues on my team is to work with people to, you know, provide support in a way that really resonates with them. Right. And philanthropy and our giving is an emotional thing. And right. You know, we're driven by our emotions when we see that child who's living in a homeless shelter or that dog who was rescued off the street that has three legs. You know, healthcare is no different. There are people who don't have it, have trouble accessing it, you know, and so we work with people who, you know, that resonates with them. And it doesn't have to just be financial. You know, we thrive on an army of volunteers who donate a tremendous amount of time and talent to us as well. And, you know, that's gotten us to where we are as well. We need that kind of help. Serving on volunteer committees and making donations that aren't always financial, but donations of toiletries so we can, you know, bring them to our more vulnerable patients. You know, diapers for our nurse family partnership program, coloring books that we can bring to our well child clinics. So it takes many forms.
Well, what helps inspire people are, you know, the personal stories, anecdotes, and experiences that individuals like you can offer in a conversation like we're having right now in the decade plus that you've been with RVNA. Well, let's start with this. What are some of the programs that you are finding are in the highest demand, not only in terms of the need for those services to be delivered, but which ones depend the most on the philanthropic pipeline of revenue to be able to succeed, sustain, and even improve?
Right. Very good question, John. I would start with our hospice program, which has grown tremendously. You know, the population, the general population is aging, as we all know, at an exponential pace, and hospice care has really, you know, taken on a life of its own. And while the medical side of hospice care is, you know, covered by insurance and your Medicare, sometimes that reimbursement doesn't always stretch to support the many other comprehensive services that make hospice the beautiful thing that it is. Mm. The music therapy that changes lives, the pet therapy, and the bereavement support that as a provider we're obligated to give and that we want to give, right, to the family members sure. that are bereaving the loss of their loved ones. So philanthropy supports a whole lot of services that are the underpinning of hospice care. And then I would also say that, you know, philanthropy allows us to bring our programs out into the communities. And I'll just focus on, for instance, our well-child clinics. And a perfect example is we forged a partnership with the Danbury Public Schools just coming out of the pandemic. You know, we were at a time where we recognized that coming out of the pandemic, there were, you know, all these children that, you know, had just come off of a year or more of pandemic learning where they were doing their classwork from home and from a computer. And, you know, during that time frame, many, many underserved families or vulnerable families did not have access to preventive care. They did not have their annual physical. These children did not have the school-required vaccines that they needed to go back to the classroom. So we put a partnership together with the Danbury Public Schools, which was just a win-win, really, for them. I mean, at that time, there were long wait lists at some of the federally funded clinics to get this kind of health care. And we were glad to be able to bring it right to the Danbury Public Schools. And we served, you know, that year, we served about 320 or 350 children with a full physical and all their school-required vaccines for free. And so this is a program that was funded by grants and by individual donors because, you know, it really resonated with them. So, you know, it's very, very, very impactful.
Mm. Across the time that you've been with RVNA, have there been any other particular programs that you have seen really thrive as a result of the proportion of philanthropic funds that have been able to be steered toward it?
Yes. You know, as I mentioned, hospice, for sure. The well-child program, for sure. On top of that, you know, we have what we call a chronic care program, which really helps some of our more vulnerable residents in the greater area that are served by Medicaid waivers. And you know, the emergency room is their first stop for when they need medical care. And this chronic care program, you know, identifies these more vulnerable individuals and, you know, offers them a routine nursing visit to come in and check their vital signs, check their blood pressure, check if their ankles are swelling, if they have a wound that needs attention, things like that. And it just helps keep them out of the hospital. It keeps them from, you know, overusing emergency resources of the town, and it allows them to remain in their homes safely and independently as opposed to going to an institutionalized healthcare setting. And of course, we all know that, you know, to go to an assisted living facility or, you know, is a costly venture. So it's a very, very that's another very impactful program that is truly supported by philanthropy.
Yeah, it really sounds like the philanthropical support that's being afforded to RVNA Health is helping all the taxpayers in some small way because it is diverting funding to programs that are offsetting what would otherwise probably be multiplied 2, 3, 4 times over if it relegated over to the to the public burden and the tax burden, right?
Correct. And, you know, John, we bring a number of really valuable programs out to, you know, various towns that we serve, but to the senior centers and to public libraries. And these are programs that cover, you know, so many diverse topics from, you know, your basic well-being and nutrition to perhaps the importance of advanced care planning, right? Mm-hmm. You know, strengthening balance, just a multitude of topics that really are very, very beneficial to our general well-being, and especially the well-being of the elderly.
Very good. In the last minute or two that we have with you, Mary Jean, tell us, tell the folks that are listening and remind them the ways that they can get in touch and perhaps support RVNA through volunteerism, through writing a check, maybe attending an event.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Checks are always welcome. Cash is king. It's very easy to support the organization by donating on our website. But we also do two major fundraising events during the calendar year. We do a spring breakfast at the end of every April, which is hosted at the Amber Room in Danbury. And John, we get 400 people filling that room at 7:30 in the morning on the last Friday morning of April. And it really speaks volumes. The fact that 400 people want to be in that room at 7:30 in the morning is still mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. That's an early hour to start your day. But, you know, we raise quite a bit of money within 90 minutes, and it's a very fun way to start your morning. And then we do a, you know, more of a gala event in the fall. We're gearing up right now for our annual autumn dinner, which will be hosted at Le Chateau, just over the border, the New York border here. And that will be on September 26th. It's a Thursday evening. And we're really proud to be honoring our president and CEO, Teresa Santoro, who has been 25 years here with the agency and started as a visiting nurse herself. And has just, you know, the agency has just grown and evolved in tremendous ways under her leadership, and she's been quite visionary. So attending fundraising events, serving on committees, volunteering with us, so, so many ways to support the organization.
Awesome. RVNA Health, which started as the Ridgefield Visiting Nurse Association back in 1914, is a private nonprofit mission-driven organization founded and focused on care, helping deliver that care thanks to your philanthropy as their director of philanthropy, Mary Jean Heller, our guest for this second of a two-part little mini-series focusing on nonprofit public health agencies. RVNA Health .org is their website if you'd like to learn more or learn how to give and support all this great work that you heard about this morning and with Melissa last week on the program as well. Mary Jean, thank you so much for being part of the program and the series.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.